Just a note before we start. Our show talks about touchy subjects that may be difficult for some of our listeners. Take care of yourself. If you feel you need to seek help, see the links at the end of our show notes for resources.
Welcome back to Touchy Subjects. I'm Sean.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we are joined by special guest Jesse Listel. So thank you for joining us today, Jesse.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So this is actually take two. And I got your last name correct this time. So we're already off to a better start.
Absolutely.
So the reason that we have Jesse here today is because Jesse is a self-described grief connoisseur. So, Jesse, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Absolutely. Welcome, Touchy Subjects listeners. I'm so happy to be here with Sean and Amanda. Thank you guys so much for inviting me. So, like Sean said, I do describe myself as a grief connoisseur. I have a very extensive history in grief. If there was a doctorate in grief, I would be Dr. Jesse Listel. And my journey started when I was 19. And I am 26 right now, and I have lost my entire immediate family, including some of my close relatives and friends, and all throughout a course of 7 years. So when I say I basically consume grief, that's what I mean. I eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I'm happy to start this conversation here on Touchy Subjects, because not only is grief losing a loved one, but grief can also be described as possibly losing a job or going through a divorce or getting an argument with a friend and never rendering it. And with touchy subjects, with domestic disputes and sexual assault, you are dealing with a loss of who you thought you were and who you wanted to be. And I'm happy to start this conversation here on the podcast. So thank you guys so much for having me, and I'm excited to start the conversation with you guys.
Yeah, we are really excited to have you here today, Jesse, because just like you said, grief can impact you in many ways, and it doesn't have to just stem from somebody dying. Because yeah, those who are experiencing domestic and sexual violence are experiencing the losses, like you said, but they can also be experiencing loss from losing those friends or family because they no longer wanted to associate with the victim, or the abuser cut them off from them, so they already are experiencing that loss. So I think a discussion on grief is going to be extremely valuable. And like we said, it is kind of touchy to talk about grief. So we're going to do a whole episode on it.
Yeah. No one wants to talk about it. It's like the stepchild in the corner. No one wants to talk about it. But here we are. We're talking about grief because it's a part of our everyday life. There is a 100% chance that someone you love will die. And there was a 100% chance that something that you are looking forward to probably won't happen. And you'll have to excuse me because I definitely have some kind of humor with my coping mechanisms. So if you see me laughing sometimes about my misfortunes, it's okay to laugh with me. I actually encourage it. Because what else can you do when your entire family dies? You just sit here and you just kind of laugh about it and move forward. And that's another thing that we're going to be talking about is moving forward through grief, which a lot of people like to say moving on, but we don't do that. We don't move on because it's always with us. We move forward. We learn and grow with it. So I'm excited to start these conversations again.
So, Jesse, your experience with discussions on grief don't just stem from your whole family dying, but also you run a podcast. So do you want to tell our audience about that?
Yeah. So I started a podcast after my mom passed away. We are recording this March 1st, and tomorrow will be 1 year that my mom passed away. And so I started recording a podcast in July. of 2021, and I started doing that because I realized after losing everybody that there was a reason why I was still here, and I feel like my purpose was to help other people. And what was I doing in that exact moment to help other people? I knew that my purpose was to serve others, and to be there for others. But what was I doing about it? Nothing. So what's the best way to get a small message to a large audience? Well, you start a podcast. So I started a podcast called Good Grief Jesse, where I talk about my triumphs, my struggles with grief, and also my journey through grief. And we are coming up on season 2 of it. And I'm excited to have you guys as a guest on my podcast as well. So be looking forward to that, touchy subject listeners, because you're going to be becoming grievers soon. So I'm excited. That's what I call my listeners, or grievers, because we're all grieving some way. There's a pandemic going on.
Yeah. We, having started a podcast right before the pandemic happened, we were a pandemic podcast. So
there you go.
But yes, we will be on Jesse's show at some point, and I will make sure that I have links to Jesse's podcast in our show notes. So listeners, please, after you've finished listening to this episode, go check out her stuff, because her podcasts are great. So just kind of jumping into the discussion then, why is it important to discuss grief?
So it's important for one reason and one reason only, because no one talks about it. In today's society, it's almost frowned upon to talk about a loved one that's passed away or things that are wrong with you. And I don't understand that. So when we go to the doctor, or, you know, go to the dentist because like our tooth is hurting or we hurt our arm, they prescribe us medicine. We go to our friends, tell us what happened. And, you know, we tell them that, well, we got a wrap or something and we're taken care of. But when something wrong happens that is mentally draining or straining or emotionally draining, no one wants to talk about that. It's like some stigma that you're weak if you cry, or if you're weak, or you're an Eeyore is a great way to describe someone who's grieving or someone who's depressed. And let's talk about that, because there is a pretty high chance that someone you know has depression or is grieving, but they don't want to talk about it. But you could, just starting that conversation could save their lives. And that's what my whole purpose is to start that conversation, to have it be normalized grief, because it's something that we all are going to have to deal with. And I don't think it's fair that, I get passionate. I think that it's not fair that we can't openly talk about these things without being called weak or a baby or emotional. I was always called emotional as a child. And now look at me. Now I'm nothing but laughing and giggly. And it's because I started the conversation. And it's important to talk about grief because it could save someone's life. And the only way to really go through problems and go through life is through talking through them. And I want to make sure that people have an open platform and a safe place to talk about it.
Yeah, we know that grief is often stigmatized, especially from the perspective of like myself as a guy. Like, we know that if you're going to fall into those stereotypes of being a man, like, you're not allowed to talk about your emotions. You can't express any feelings other than anger. And not being able to have those conversations is extremely detrimental to men's mental health. It's one of the reasons why men have a higher rate of completed suicide than women. If we're not allowed to talk about what we're feeling and we can only express things through anger, we're never going to be able to heal or be able to move forward with the grief that we have, because we're always going to be stuck in that moment. We can't process fully what we've gone through or experienced, because if we even try to have those conversations, we're viewed as weaker, and no guy wants to be viewed as a weak man. But even going further than that is that there's always that, it feels to me, there's always that bit of, well, I can't talk about this because I'm going to make other people feel sad or feel bad for me. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to make other people feel bad. So we just choose to ignore having conversations that would make us feel better.
Yeah. And at what sacrifice, you know? And that's what's so detrimental, is we try to suppress what is really going on to make other people feel comfortable. And there's no growth in comfortability. Like, there's nothing. When you're comfortable and you're happy all the time, you're not growing. And I like to make people uncomfortable. That's like one of my goals, is to make people uncomfortable, because the way that I make people uncomfortable is by asking them tough questions and saying tough reality slappers, you know, hitting them with real life problems and real life scenarios that they will go through, but they don't want to think about because it's uncomfortable. Well, you know, like I said, there is a 100% chance of someone you love dying. So when people, you know, they're like, oh, I couldn't imagine losing a dad or losing your brother. Imagine it. Really. Sit here and think about it. Because if you have a brother, if you have a mom, if you have a dad, they're going to die. I'm sorry. And, you know, let's have the conversation now and then. But I want you to know that, like, when it happens, there's someone there for you. There's someone that has a platform to allow you to talk. And that's the biggest thing, is knowing that you're not alone through this. And by having the conversation, by starting the conversation, is a reassurance and a gateway to let them know that they aren't alone, which could save someone's life.
And this is just something to throw into, like, I mean, grief is grief, yes. And we're always, you know, going to feel that when something happens that we're sad about. But I also think it's something that, you know, we can get better at processing with practice. So when you look at someone and you're like, I can't imagine all of the things that you have gone through, well, you learn how to deal with it little by little. Mm-hmm. And when we're not allowed to grieve those smaller things, like losing a job or losing a friendship or losing a relationship, then we don't get that practice. We don't have that, you know, kind of emotional stability in our life to be able to handle those larger griefs of, you know, a parent dying or a partner dying or something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. The way that I usually think about it is kind of like working out, in a sense. It's like, because like you said, Jesse, if you're sick, you go to the doctor, like, they'll treat you, they'll take care of you, and you can talk to your friends about it. If I'm experiencing something that's really hurting me, like mentally, like if I'm experiencing grief, well, if I'm not going to a therapist to talk about it, because we don't want people to go to therapy apparently because we stigmatize it, or if I feel like I can't talk to it with my friends, I can't do the things that are going to make me feel better. And like you were alluding to, Amanda, then if I'm able to flex that grief muscle more by being able to talk about and process the quote-unquote littler things, like if I were to lose a job, then when somebody does die, I've flexed that muscle a bit. I've worked it out. Maybe I don't know how to, maybe my coping mechanism for that situation isn't going to be the exact same, but at least I know what things I can do to kind of help process through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's actually a word for it. It's called anticipatory grief. And it's exactly what you guys are talking about. It's anticipating a larger amount of grief. And you set yourself up for, I don't want to say success, because there's no really right way to grieve. It's just how you process grief. But being able to understand and allow yourself to get familiar with what it might be like and what you might go through when you're grieving is a good way to really set yourself up for success for future grieving. For, I remember when I lost my mom, I kind of thought about, you know, what it was like to lose my dad and what it was like when I lost my brother. And because my mother was the last person I lost. And I just remember sitting there, I'm like, okay, I knew that I had a problem drinking when my dad died. I knew when my brother died, I kind of lost a bit of myself. And I knew that when my mom was going to pass, I was like, okay, I have to be aware of things that have happened in the past, things that I did wrong, which was not talking about it, which was covering up with alcohol. Things that, when I lost my brother, I kind of went in this spiral downhill because I didn't know who I was anymore. So I was a little bit more prepared on, you know, who I am as a person. I'm also a little bit older now, but I was able to understand that, you know, these are things that I like to do. No matter what happens, this is something that is always going to be a part of me. I don't need to lose it just because I lost somebody. And so when my mom passed, I had these staples to go off of and these building blocks to go off of to know that I was going to be better off and not make the same mistakes again. And I think that's really important whenever you're going through something with the smaller griefs, like losing a job. It's like, okay, what did I do right in this scenario? Like maybe not going out to the bar after losing a job and or not talking about it and pretending it didn't happen. Because if you pretend it didn't happen, then you're only lying to yourself. You know, I've, trust me, been there, done that, doesn't work. It just resurfaces later. But having those building blocks really, really do help progress you further in your grief journey. And when we say grief journey, it kind of sounds a little bit more fun. And journeys can be exciting at sometimes. And I'm still learning in my grief journey that there are milestones that happen. You know, I had an interview with somebody today who lost her dad and turned her journey into something positive to where she was able to talk to her idol, Kim Kardashian, about her father dying, because she turned what she loved about her father into a passion of hers, and it got her to Kim Kardashian. Like, how cool is that? And that's a part of her grief journey. Like, I thought that was so cool. And cool. I could only imagine to meet Kim Kardashian doing a podcast, but you know.
Right. Come check back in a year and we'll see where we're at.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian sent her a Barbie doll that looked like her.
That's cool.
It was so cool. It was so cool. I was like, dang it.
So I do want to point out though in there, Jesse, you mentioned like the journey piece of it. And it's probably something that our listeners are relatively familiar to hearing, because when we often talk about healing from a domestic violence, sexual assault situation, we refer to it as a healing journey. There's no end line. There's no goal. It's the journey of healing. There's going to be those steps that are easier for some people and harder for others. There's no timeline. Everybody heals differently, just as everybody grieves differently. There's never going to be a deadline or a goal to where you're going to be like, yeah, I don't care anymore that my grandpa died.
I'm done grieving.
Like, yes. That's not going to happen. But it gets easier. And the journey that you take in that grief is going to be also a part of that story and your story for it. It's like, I know for myself, when my grandpa passed away earlier this year, at the end of last year, it's already March.
So it's still cool. The same year.
Yeah. He was my last living grandparent. So no grandparents left, but it was interesting knowing on the like grief journey that I have taken up to this point, where I've been able to flex my muscles a little bit more on grieving different things. It was really cool to know that myself, like, I enjoy talking about things, like I make people uncomfortable for a living, just like you, Jesse. But it was really cool being able to have those conversations with my cousins, and my cousins and I all out in the parking lot doing shots for our grandpa.
Yeah.
It's like shots of his favorite whiskey. Like, that was like a cool memory for me. And now we have a tradition where every year before Christmas, we'll go out to the bar and drink and dance and just have fun in honor of our grandpa, who enjoyed drinking and enjoyed singing and just having fun.
Yeah, that is healthy. What I was doing was not healthy.
When my grandma died, that was a different story. But
you know, we all go through, you know, failures in grief, and that's okay. You know, it's how you come back from them is what really matters. And so there is no end result or end goal in grief. It's something that you're constantly having to kind of figure out your way through, and it's always going to be with you, because you can sit here and go months, years, decades without thinking about a loved one or without thinking about your grief, but then it kind of sneaks up. And someone described it as a sneaky bitch, and I think that is a great way of describing grief, because you'll be sitting there having a good time thinking that you're healed and you're moving on, which is one of those words. You think you moved on, but then it sneaks up on you and you're like, there you go. I was wrong. I was totally wrong. And that's why we don't want to give these false expectations that, you know, after a certain period of time, you're done grieving, because it's never going to go away until you die. And then you don't have to grieve anymore. It's kind of like anxiety. There's only like two people that don't suffer from anxiety, and it's sociopaths and dead people. Everyone else basically suffers with anxiety, whether it's normal anxiety or an anxiety disorder. We all suffer through it, and it's just something that we have to live with, and we have to learn. You grow with it. You kind of make friends with your mental health and your grief. You make friends with it, and you also understand its quirks and the bad sides of it, but you also learn how to come out on the other side of grief and know your strengths and see how far you've come. And I've met some incredible survivors of sexual assault who have came out on the other side and are now spreading their story. And I think it's incredible that you, Sean, and Amanda have this platform to really, really get their message out there and get a message to other people that, you know, there are survivors and there isn't a brighter side to this dark, stormy world we live in, you know? So I think you guys deserve a pat on the back just as well as others because of what you do.
Well, thanks. I'll lock that pat in the back away for the next time I have a conversation with some of my students and they make fun of me. So I'll keep that there because high schoolers are mean.
Yes, they are.
I just want to like touch back on something that you said, because it was a new term for me, and it was anticipatory grief. Yes. And I've never heard that before, but oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Like, there are people, and I'm one of them, I'm like a worst case scenario kind of person. So like if something starts going on, my mind automatically will take me to like, okay, what's the worst possible scenario that can happen from this?
Yes.
And I used to just think it was because I was a little high anxiety ridden, you know, things like that. But now with this term, like I can realize that I'm just maybe trying to prepare myself, giving myself a little bit of that cushion in case those worst things do happen, which I mean, I know that's still not like the best way to do things, but it gives me a little bit of relief knowing that like maybe my body is like just trying to prepare me a little bit in case.
Absolutely. And my favorite analogy is it's like when you are going out to an event and you're having anxiety about parking. Like, where am I going to park? And what if I get there and I can't park? Like, my car's too small, my car's too big, I can't find a parking spot. What do I do? And you're like, okay, there's a parking lot down the street, I'll go there. Well, what if parking is too expensive? Or what if there's no more spaces? And it's kind of like that with your body. And with anticipatory grief, it's like, okay, if I lose this job, what's my plan B? And it's like, okay, if I lose this job, I'm going to be sad. Okay. Take 30 minutes out of your day to sit there and cry because you lost your job, because you deserve that. You deserve to take some time and really kind of let those emotions out. Okay. Plan B, start finding a new job. You know, it's preparing yourself for these bigger things that might happen. But I don't want to say bigger, because to somebody, losing their job could mean everything to them. And I mean, if I fired myself from my podcast, I think that'd be it. That'd be it for me. And like, you know what? I didn't want to work anyways. So, you know, but I think that is, it's really setting yourself up, like preparing yourself. And another term that you guys are familiar with that goes with anticipatory grief is post-traumatic stress disorder, which I've been going through myself personally for this week because of my mom's anniversary. And it's probably why I'm out of breath. It's because I'm under a lot of stress. But it's understanding that during certain anniversaries, a happy kind of word. And I don't think anniversaries should be, in the way that we say them, it's not really fun or exciting. But whenever those certain dates happen, to understand that, yeah, you might feel sick to your stomach around that time. And it's not the sushi you ate. It's because of what you're going through, what your body remembers during that time of the year. And sometimes your mind and your body have two different minds. It's really funny to think about, but what you think is going on and what's actually going on are not lining up. And that's another thing that people don't understand with PTSD, is that we think that we're just going to go in a closet and hyperventilate and cry because fireworks are going off. Like, no, we're going to sit here and we're going to pretend like everything's okay, when inside my body is fatigued, I'm nauseous, I have a headache. You know, things that your body goes through that you have no idea why, but it's because of basically muscle memory. And that happens with grief. I'm going through it right now. That's why I'm completely out of breath.
Yeah. And it's one of the things I want our audience to take away from this discussion really is that there's no, like, don't pigeonhole yourself into thinking that, oh, it's been 10 years. I should be over this. Like, this shouldn't still be having the same impact on me. Like, that's going to happen. And that's okay. Like, I don't think 10 years from now on Christmas, when it's been the 10-year anniversary, death anniversary of my grandpa, that I'm going to be like, it's not a big deal. Like, that's still my grandpa. Like, there's still, like, I enjoy so much when my students ask me, like, what my playing card tattoo on my arm is because it's for my grandma, who always swore I was cheating when I was playing euchre because I always had aces that would take her tricks to get points. So now I have an ace up my sleeve, which is why it's the ace of hearts.
I love it.
So I love when students ask me because I get to share that story about my grandma. Like, it makes me tear up a bit when I talk about it because I don't get to make new memories with my grandma. But it's a memory that I love about her, and I get to share that. And
yeah,
it's okay to feel those emotions.
Absolutely. I mean, grief is, it's, there's no one word to really describe it besides shitty. But, you know, there's so many ways that you can handle it, and making new memories with new people. I think one of the biggest things for me is that, you know, when the holidays come around, I'm like, well, who do I celebrate Christmas with? You know, like, who do I eat Thanksgiving with? You know, but it's a time to make new memories with new people that have really proven that they want to be in your life. And it's being able to allow yourself the time it takes to grieve and allow yourself to be able to make those changes that you're okay with that. Because sometimes, you know, it's been 7 years since my dad died, and I literally have my family up here, and I think about the good days, the bad days, the day he died, the day, you know, for his birthdays. I still remember all that. And some days I'm like, all right, Dad, I'm going to have a a Budweiser for you, you know? And then other days I'm like, I think I'm just going to lay in bed. And that's okay. Yeah. That's totally fine. No matter how long it's been. Like, I remember when I lost my dog, my first real loss in my life. And that was probably about 12 years ago. I still think about that dog. And I have a picture. And every year I go and, you know, see, I look at the picture and say that you are a good dog and move on and move on with the day. And it doesn't matter how long. I think it's all about how you are allowing yourself to take the time. And if you want to take a day where you just like don't want to talk to anybody, I'm a huge advocate for shutting my phone off and having my friends worry about me because I don't talk to them for a day. But they all know. Just make sure that if you do that, like, let them know, or they will come to your house and bang on your door.
I promise I'm not dead. I promise.
Yeah. I promise nothing happened. I just want to be dead to the world. Dead to the world for one day. And just take the time and watch Hell's Kitchen if I want to.
Also, to really play into the joking about grief with you, you don't literally have your dead dad, like, just out of camera frame, right?
Oh, well, I have pictures of them, but I don't literally have. No, he's buried in the ground.
Okay, okay. I just wanted to make sure, like, there wasn't, like, some officials that needed to be called.
Nope. He is locked and loaded in the ground.
Gotcha. Okay, my dad's on a shelf right now, so.
You know, my mom, she's also in the ground, but I turned her into a diamond, so she'll be blinging real soon. So, you know, it's perspective.
Those were always some of my, like, favorite TikToks, though, is like when people were like joking about their grief, or like, oh, let me go ask my mom, and they just run into, like, the living room and it's just an urn.
Oh god. I saw one the other day. It was like, I just got a promotion at work and my mom's dead, so can you pretend to be my mom? And then there's this guy just, like, laying on the ground.
Yes, I saw that one.
Yeah, I was like, oh no.
I'm glad we're on the same, at least one of the same sides of TikTok.
Yeah, it's a scary place.
Welcome to comedic grief TikTok.
Yes.
What was the other thing I was going to ask?
I don't know, but I do feel a lot of emotion during this. And so, like, if you see me cry,
it's all right. It happens.
Ignore it.
Well, what do you feel? Let's talk about it.
Oh, no. Let's not do that.
Well, come on,
I'm not yet quite ready for that.
Therapy, go.
Hey, I'm in therapy. Well,
last week
twice
was
a week.
My 1 month anniversary from my dad's death, and also my 2 year anniversary from my mom's death. So I'm high on the emotion scale right now.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to be tomorrow. You know, I just remember, like, I remember the 2 year anniversary of my mom, and I was the 2 month anniversary, of my mom. And I was like, yep, I don't want to do this no more. This sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. But now that tomorrow is, like, the big day, I'm like, what can I do to make this day easier? And I'm going to release the podcast, season 2. So I can kind of remember it as a good thing, mm-hmm, and not a horrible, shitty thing that completely ruined my life.
There you go. I mean, at least from, like, the outside perspective, obviously, because I am not you, you know, we don't look obviously anything alike.
I mean, we can definitely trade. I can definitely, you know, I still have my grandpa. You can have him.
Sweet. Well, we'll figure out a draft later.
Okay, there we go.
But it is interesting from the outside perspective, kind of hearing you discuss your grief, Jesse, because using that new episodes of your podcast going out on what will be March 2nd. Those episodes will be out well before this episode goes out. But it is interesting, like, just kind of like seeing it as like you get to use this as a moment to show, like, not only yourself, but also like if anybody listening believes in like some kind of higher power, they get to see like what you were able to turn the grief into, which I think is something just like really cool as someone who tries to strive for and thinks regularly, like, would my grandma be proud of me if she could see what I'm doing today? Like,
which is it, yes.
Hopefully. I don't know if she would have understood what podcasts are.
You know, I don't know about you, but my grandmother would have been so pissed if I got a tattoo in memory of her.
Yeah, I don't know how she would have felt about the tattoo either. We were worried my grandpa wouldn't like it, and I showed my grandpa it, and he, like, it was one of the only times I've seen my grandpa, like, kind of tear up a little bit. So that was super cool. So I knew I did a good thing, even though I was like, I don't know how to feel about tattoos. But it is, like I said, it's cool from the outside perspective seeing, or, like, at least thinking for me, because the way that I think about my grandma, like, you're doing things not just because you're striving to help people, but it's literally in honor of them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. To be honest with you, Sean, I got tired of crying and feeling like shit. I got tired of it. You know, after being hit one after the other, I was like, you know, I'm literally wounded on the battlefield, like, oh, I'm tired of this, grandpa, you know, and I just wanted
I love the Holes reference.
I just wanted to do something that brought me purpose, that brought me some kind of joy after dealing with something like that. And but it brought me, you know, I had to reach a real low. And, you know, you can cut this out if you want to, but I have to share this. You know, I talk about this with my therapist a lot. And I'm like, you know, if I were to have, like, if I wanted to kill myself, I would have done it already. I would have done it already. I wouldn't have gone this far and then ended it all, yeah. You know.
It's like, I've had conversations with my therapist. It's like, when I was seeing her regularly, she's like, do we want to work on your fear of death? And I was like, well, you see, the thing is, I know I'll never kill myself if I'm afraid to die. She's like, we'll check that for later.
That's the thing, because, you know, my uncle committed suicide, and I feel like that's like my little card that, you know, when I don't joke about suicide, but sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, that's my 13th reason, you know? And yeah. A lot of my friends are concerned, and I'm like, really, guys? Like, really? If I would have done it, I would have done it already. Mm-hmm. Not gonna do it now that I have, you know, people that are kind of, I don't know, maybe hoping I do. I don't know. The podcast world is a really weird place, and so is TikTok.
Yeah.
So is TikTok. When one of my videos went viral, I was like, some people were like, oh, maybe you should go join them. It's like, well, at least I'd have a warmer welcome with them. Jeez. Like, and then some guy called me Batman. So I was like, okay. Everything's better now.
If I've learned anything about the internet as somebody who spends far too much time on the internet and for far too many years, is there's always going to be people who just fucking suck.
Yeah, it's a, you know, honestly, I think maybe two or three comments out of like the thousands that I got were shitty. And one of them, he said it was so funny. It was so funny. And I did a really good job of biting my tongue, but this one I couldn't. But he was like, she only likes comments that agree with her. And he meant to say pity her, but he put potty. And so I commented back and I said, potty yourself. And he said, you know what? You got me on that one. And I was like, yeah, I know I did. Stay safe. Have a good life. You know, like, if you're going to talk shit, at least make sure that you're spelling your shit correctly.
Yeah, I consistently have typos. You can ask Amanda. I will regularly send her things before I put them out. Like, can you check this for typos? Because I read through it, but I'm sure there are still some.
It's like Grammarly. Grammarly is what I use for talking shit.
Episode not sponsored by Grammarly. But I know, if for some reason someone at Grammarly is listening and you need some sponsors, hit us up. let me tell you.
It'd be a great commercial.
I'll be good in commercials for you, I promise.
Yeah. I love Grammarly because like it would be like, wow, I'll sit there and, you know, type out something to my friend and talk shit to them about, and they're like, oh, this sounds professional. And I'm like, yeah. Go F yourself.
Lesson, if you're gonna talk shit on the internet, get Grammarly.
Talk professionally. So I love it. I love it.
All I can think about is Monsters, Inc. And he's like, if you're going to insult me, do it correctly.
Exactly. Don't potty me. Potty yourself. Get out of here.
So hopefully what our listeners can take away from this discussion, especially at the end here.
Sorry.
No, you're good. It's because we did a whole episode on a really heavy topic. Grief is a hard thing to talk about, and yet we're all here kind of laughing. It's like,
yeah,
it's possible to have these discussions and have conversations on touchy subjects and still be able to have fun and still be able to laugh and stuff. It's like, obviously when I do presentations, I'm not making jokes about sexual assault and domestic violence because, you know,
know your audience.
I like my job. And I like doing what I do. And those are just not tasteful jokes. And things that you probably shouldn't joke about. Like how you won't joke about suicide except for like saying things like, oh, that's my 13th reason. Which, by the way, my friends and I do all the time.
See? Okay, so I'm not the only one.
No, you are not the only one. But I think we put so much emphasis on the fact that these touchy subjects are difficult to talk about. And they're going to bring up feelings that are the quote unquote negative feelings. We just avoid those conversations completely. And avoiding those conversations isn't going to benefit anybody. Nobody benefits from not being able to talk about our grief. Nobody benefits not being able to feel comfortable enough or in a safe space to be able to talk about the negative things or the harms that we have experienced. Mm-hmm. The only people that benefit from our societal fear at having these hard discussions are the people that do harm. They're the only ones who benefit, because if we're not willing to talk about the things and the harms that we've experienced, those people get to keep harming people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you're having conversations about grief and other touchy subjects, just be aware of how you're feeling and how the other person is feeling, because even though I can sit here and talk to you all day about grief, I have to be very conscious of how I'm feeling, because I could sort of start crying and completely blow the vibe, because someone else could be kind of like starting to open up, and then they see me break down and they're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. So just being aware of how you're feeling and how the other person's feeling is a great way to start a conversation and also have a great conversation. And just being aware of how you feel and mentally how you're doing. You don't want to have a bad day and start talking about grief, because then you're just gonna have a worse day. I've done it. But one of my favorite things to compare avoidance is when you're taking a test and you don't know the answer to one of the questions, so you skip it and you completely avoid the question, you're still going to get it wrong and you're still going to have points taken off of your test. So you might as well go ahead and at least give it a try, because there's a, I don't know, 25% chance that you might get it right. So I always like to at least try, make yourself feel a little uncomfortable, just for a little bit, to make sure that you're able to do that. Give yourself a little bit of wiggle room before taking a leap of faith like that.
Yeah. And if you're worried too that you might not feel equipped fully to be able to have those conversations with somebody, or you're worried that you may say the wrong thing, like, if you're really worried about it, talk to them beforehand. Like, hey, what can I do to help you? Instead of just trying to offer suggestions that they might not even want. They might not want suggestions. They may just want to hear, man, that sucks. I am sorry.
Yeah.
And learning that is an extremely important thing, because when you don't, and you also are someone who hasn't gone through that grief journey of grief that you are experiencing, there's a chance that you end up having a combination of turning that person's grief conversation into a grief conversation about your grief. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has been there, and it really strained one of my friendships, that's not a spot you want to be in.
Yeah, because then you're setting yourself up for another grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that before too. Don't worry. And it's just, then that's why I have a therapist. Mm-hmm. That is why I have a therapist, so I can unload all of the unwanted grief talk on her. And then when my friends ask, I'm like, oh, great. Lovely.
Just want to say, you know, thank you to Jesse for joining us today and taking us through this journey of grief. I laughed, I cried, I had all these emotions. So it was nice to be able to kind of get this conversation out in the air.
Well, thank you, Amanda. It's been a lot of fun. And you guys are very, very awesome people to talk to. And I'm sorry for making you cry.
It's really easy to do, so.
Oh, no.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jesse. This was a great conversation, and I can't wait to join you on your podcast for another conversation with you. Before we go, though, do you have any socials you want to throw out to our audience?
Yeah, sure. I have TikTok, Discord, Instagram, all by the name of Good Grief Jesse, Jessi. And you can follow me there. I also have a Facebook and a Facebook group called Good Grievers. We have a good time there. It's also where I post sneak peeks of what's coming up, and I interact with my followers. It's really fun. Discord's also really fun too, if you're into that kind of stuff. I know some people are still getting there, but yeah, follow me at Good Grief Jesse. You can follow or go on my website, goodgriefjesse.com, and check out who's been on the podcast, some of my past interviews. You get to meet the family, as well as if you'd like to be on the show, you can send me an email. My personal email's on there, so is my phone number. So call me if you want. I don't care. If you want to talk, I'm here. So thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesse. And thank you all for listening today. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TouchySubsPod. Email us any questions, comments, or concerns to TouchySubjectsPodcast@gmail.com. And please rate us on your favorite podcast listening app. It really does help the show out.
And in the meantime, don't be afraid to challenge, ask, and discuss when it comes to touchy subjects.